Goa Premanande. All glories to the Assemal devotees. All glories to the Assemal devotees. All glories to the Assemal devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarad Iva Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Vikivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Welcome everyone. If you have not done so already, kindly turn off your cell phones, because in order to get the full benefit of this Bhagavat program, according to Suta Goswami, you must hear with rapt attention. That is the secret of success. Tonight, we are going to the main part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dashama Skanda, 10th canto. As we learn from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata chakva dehaṁ punar janma naiti mameti sarajuna. One who understands factually in truth my appearance and activities, which are all transcendental and divine, does not take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. We have gone through 9 cantos. Srila Vyasadeva has scientifically brought us step by step. So now we should fully understand what we mean by the word God, the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Enjoyer, the possessor of 6 opulences, Aishvarasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasa Sriya Jnana Vairagyos Chaiva Shanambhaga Itingana. The Supreme Lord possesses 6 opulences: wealth, beauty, fame, knowledge, wisdom, renunciation, and he has these in unlimited quantity. He has them all, but unlimited. Tonight, we will hear this 10th canto, which is compared to the smiling face of Krishna. One of Krishna's millions of names, Mukunda, everybody say. He gives liberation, but the other meaning, his face is always smiling, like the smiling of the Kunda flower, Mukunda. So that smiling face of Krishna is this 10th canto. So in order to proceed, first, we will hear the invocation, which is a statement by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the great Mayavadi Prakashananda Saraswati 500 years ago in Benares, Lord Chaitanya was advising Prakashananda to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So he said, quote, "You should study Srimad Bhagavatam very scrutinizingly. Then you will understand the actual meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. Always discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and constantly chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Finish it. In this way, you will be able to attain liberation very easily, and you will be elevated to the enjoyment of love of Godhead. My spiritual master, to whom I owe everything, who has given me the opportunity, the adhikari, the right to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that the purpose of studying Srimad Bhagavatam is to gradually become attached to chanting the holy name. So that is my whole agenda. Study Srimad Bhagavatam so that we become attached to this holy name. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Prabhupada entitles Canto 10 the Summum Bonum. That is a Latin phrase, summum bonum. The ultimate good, that from which all other good things emanate. Summum bonum, the ultimate good. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this verse that appears as the fourth verse. And this verse will give us some impetus to properly hear this 10th canto. Nivritta tarshaya upagiyamanad bhavau sadach chotra mano biramat ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajeta vina pashudnat. I ask you to repeat after me. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. Meaning, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification except a butcher or one who is killing his very self? So very instructive here. This is like a self-test, how advanced you are in spiritual life. So, we begin the 10th canto. Here is the scene. Mother Earth is very distressed. Why is she distressed? Because Kamsa, the most powerful king on the planet, has assembled a network of other demons like himself, an axis of evil. Kamsa was also the greatest demon, and he made an alliance with all the other demon kings on the planet. And what were they doing? Increasing the military industrial complex. This is not a new thing. This has been going on since time immemorial. Unnecessarily building up the military. So Mother Earth was feeling overburdened with this unnecessary buildup of weapons and soldiers. It was not necessary. Mother Earth was feeling so distressed, she went to the Creator, Lord Brahma, and she assumed the form of a cow. The demigods, they have that ability. They can transform themselves into different kinds of bodies. Mother Earth is also one of the demigoddesses. So she appeared before Lord Brahma in the shape of a cow, and she was crying. She was crying and informed Lord Brahma why she was crying. Lord Brahma could understand that he was not able to solve her problem. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Mother Earth, all the major demigods, they all went to the shore of the ocean of milk, because in the ocean of milk is the white island Shweta Dweep. And on that island lies Shiro Dakashayi Vishnu, who is actually Super Soul in everyone's heart. The demigods know the procedure. They assembled on the shore of the ocean of milk, and they offered the standard prayer, Purusha Sukta. Devotees from South India, they're very familiar with these Purusha Sukta prayers. So they sang these Purusha Sukta prayers and were expecting Lord Vishnu to respond. But after some time, Lord Brahma sat in meditation, and within his heart, he received the message from Shiro Dakashayi Vishnu. That message was, I am coming, but I am coming in my original form as Krishna. I'm not coming as an incarnation or an expansion. I am coming in my original form, Krishna. And the message was, all you demigods, you should expand yourselves. And you should expand yourselves taking birth in the Yadu dynasty. Because of all the dynasties Krishna could appear, he prefers to appear in the Yadu dynasty. So all the demigods were to take birth in the Yadu dynasty and act as the Lord's assistants, because that is the function of a demigod. A demigod is not a competitor to God. A demigod is an assistant, not a competitor. So starting with Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Sui, all of them, they are servants of God, assistants. So all of them were to expand themselves, take birth in the Yadu dynasty, and assist Krishna. And what is Krishna's mission? Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskrita. This we also learn from Bhagavad Gita. God comes for three purposes. The same reason why Lord Ram came. Same circumstance. God comes to give protection and give His audience to the devotees. He comes to kill the demons, the criminals. And simultaneously with the Lord's presence, He establishes true, actual religious principles and drives out false or materialistic religious principles. He comes to establish the real truth. The real truth, love of God. That is the ultimate religion. Therefore, we learn from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. First line, Krishna says, give up all your concepts of what you think is religion and just surrender to me. That's all. Surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, if you do that, I will deliver you. I will protect you. Don't worry about sinful reactions. I will take care of that. You just work for me. You just live for me. You just love me. That's all. I will take care of the rest. And he says, Ma Shucha. Everybody say, don't hesitate. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't doubt this instruction of mine. So they got the message. The demigods expanded themselves and they were awaiting the appearance of Krishna. The next scene. The next scene, Devaki has just been married to this nice devotee, Vasudev. It is the day of her wedding. She is being driven on a chariot. She has left her home and she's now going to the home of her husband, Vasudev, which is in Mathura. Devaki's brother, not direct brother, but brother nonetheless, Kamsa, the evil demoniac king, he is driving the chariot for his sister and the husband. Everything is going nicely. Then all of a sudden, Kamsa hears a voice coming from the sky. Kamsa! You fool! You do not know the eighth child of your sister will kill you. When Kamsa hears the voice from the sky, he lets go of the reins of the horses. With one hand, he grabs Devaki by the hair. With his other hand, he draws his sword. And he's about to kill her on the spot, on her wedding day, right then. Vasudev, being a devotee, he quickly uses his intelligence. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. I give necessary intelligence to my devotees. Vasudev has to be a devotee because he is going to be the father of God. So he must be a devotee and he must be very intelligent, and he proves it. He starts to preach to Kamsa. That's an important point. Prabhupada teaches us, preaching is the essence. You should have knowledge. Where do you get the knowledge? From the books. You should live a pure life. You should apply the knowledge, making your principle utility, make your knowledge work for you. But preaching, that is the essence. Vasudev starts to talk to Kamsa, explaining philosophically why it is not actually in his interest to commit this heinous sin of killing a woman, which you never do, killing his sister. And he says, you are a great king. This will not look very good on your resume. Because for a king, reputation is everything. The people will respect the king, but if the king does not have a good reputation, then they will gossip and talk, and king has to have good reputation. So Vasudev is trying to convince Kamsa from so many different angles of vision, but Kamsa is not budging. He's still just going to kill Devaki. Then Krishna in Vasudev's heart says, okay, Kamsa, the omen said 8th child. She hasn't had any children yet. She may not have any children. What to speak of 8 children? So for the time being, can you just hold off? No. He's still not convinced. But then Vasudev says, okay, I promise any child, not just the 8, any child Devaki has, I will turn over to you to do whatever you like. That appeals to Kamsa. Okay, very good. So Vasudev, as we say, has dodged a bullet. He at least has saved Devaki for the time being. He'll deal with the other things down the road. But for now, at least Devaki is safe. So, the procession continues. They arrive in Mathura. And for now, Vasudev and Devaki are okay. Then, somebody comes. Narayan, Narayan, Narada Muni, Bhajaya Veena, Radhika Ramana, Name. This Narada has appeared in almost every canto. He was there in the 1st, 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, he's in the 5th, he's in the 6th, he's in the 7th. Was he in the 8th? I don't know, 9th? At least 7 cantos, Narada has entered the narrations. And he's all over in this 10th. Now, Kamsa can respect someone like Narada because Narada is not a man of this world. He's a sage, he's a rishi. He can go to heaven, he can go to hell. He's unrestricted, and so they respect Narada. Yes, Narada. Narada comes and says, Oh Kamsa, do you know that in your last birth, you were a demon? Your name was Kalanini, and you were killed by Vishnu. Now, Narada can say that because Narada is Trikalajna. He can see past, he sees present, he can see the future. So Kamsa will respect what Narada says. And then Narada says, and guess what? Vishnu is coming again in this life to kill you again. And oh, by the way, Kamsa, as far as the omen, you know, I wouldn't trust it. It said the 8th child, but you know what? It might be any of Devaki's children. Now, by this time, Devaki had already given birth to her first child, Kirtiman. And Vasudev, like he promised, brought the child to Kamsa, and Kamsa said, by this time Kamsa had calmed down. Kamsa said, you can keep this child because I'm only interested in the eighth child. So you could see Vasudev's preaching yielded some benefit. He didn't lose his first child. But now because of Narada, now Kamsa takes the first child, kills it. And Devaki gave birth to five more sons. And because of Narada, Kamsa killed all the six sons. There's a history why that happened. But that's for a further class when we go into more detailed in the future. I'm also Trikalagya. I can see what we're going to preach in the future. I also remember what I preach in the past because I record my lectures. Okay, I need to stop the tape. Everybody chant.